Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN with Steve Conroyd and Jamal Mayers. Before we break down Game 2's 5-0 loss to the Predators, you can't get enough of Chicago sports. Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. Look, we know they're a skilled team. I have a problem when you get outworked 2 nights in a row in your building when you're the number one seed in the West.
I'll agree with that. When I see a guy like Philip Forsberg, who's, listen, he's got plenty of skill. He's not an overly big guy. When he's bumping big defensemen off pucks to set up goals, to get momentum going his way, yeah, and that's all about the will level. And listen, the skill, let's forget about skill right now, because in the playoffs, skills can sometimes get nullified. You've got to amp up that will to compete, it's that force factor. And right now, the Blackhawks don't have it.
And for me, it's very telling that you don't see Pekka Rinne had 2 shutouts in a row. We don't see Pekka Rinne on that board of list of things, because I don't, and I agree.
Yeah, I don't think he's not stolen the first 2 games.
No, we've made it. I think the Blackhawks have made it easy on him. I don't think they, well, better way to say it is, I don't think they've made it difficult enough on him to make him have to work for those second chances. And you have to reward the guys getting to the net. A lot of times I thought they did a good job of guys getting to the net and the pucks didn't get through. You've got to give up your shot in a sense and just get the puck there, create that second chance.
Couple turning points in this game for you. It happened early on in this game. Richard Panik with an opportunity. The Hawks actually came out, had some good looks. Panik rings one off the post. Then a nice job blocking a shot.
Yeah, I love the way he uses the defenseman as a screen. He gets him to open up his legs. He puts it through his legs, and that's a great shot. And then here, the great block, unfortunately, goes right back to Ryan Ellis. That allows Arvidsson to get out front. So, if he doesn't block the shot, maybe it goes through to Corey Crawford. Arvidsson was in behind the net. It allowed him to come out front. So that was certainly a turning point. Instead of being up 1-0, you're down 1-0. It's like a 2-goal swing. So, yeah, I thought Panik had one of the better games among the forwards. Unfortunately, that didn't work out for him.
Johnny Oduya, I thought, had a rough night. Took a bad angle on Zolnarchuk's goal. And, he doesn't get back in front in time to tie up Sisson.
Yeah, I think this is an opportunity. He's trying to recover here in this situation, and he's probably thinking that Zolnarchuk would probably pull the puck back further, but he doesn't. I think if he just stayed on the inside of that play, he would have had a better chance of deflecting that. Here he gets his stick caught, and then he doesn't get out in front quick enough.
I mean, that's a foot race, right?
That's all compete. That's battle right there. You've got to find a way to be harder to play against, jump out in front, and give that guy a shot. He's trying to score a goal right there in front of the net. That, even if you have to take a penalty, you've got to be hard to play against and harder in that area. And that's one of the things we're talking about. And it goes all across the board. I think they have to share this blame. And as a group, hopefully they're sitting in there realizing and understanding, we didn't get beat by a goaltender who outshined us. We got beat because we didn't compete as a group. And I think if they understand that and appreciate it and are honest with each other, you'll see a much better and different team in Game 3.
Take you through the lowlights in this one. 4 minutes into the first period, Ryan Ellis tees one up from just inside the blue line. That is blocked by Panik. Great job here getting in the shooting lane, but it goes right back to Ellis. He reloads. Arvidsson the screen, and it's 1-0.
That's an unfortunate break because, that shot gets through. Look at Arvidsson. He's behind the net when the shot originally. Now he gets out front. Totally takes away the eyes of Corey Crawford, lifts his leg, does a real good job there. The splits basically in front, and you can see from behind, not only Arvidsson, the other 38, Ryan Hartman, both guys screening Corey. It's 1-0 Nashville.
Less than 3 minutes into the second period, Rinne outlets to Ekholm. The stretch pass to Zolnarchuk. And as we showed you, Aduya goes to the far shoulder. Zolnarchuk beats Corey to make it 2-0.
A lot of the things that we're talking about the Blackhawks need to do, which is just punt into the neutral zone and create foot races. That's exactly what Nashville does here. They get the puck out. Zolnarchuk picks up that puck off a change, makes a perfect shot over the shoulder of Corey Crawford. And again, we alluded to it earlier. Johnny Oduya perhaps had a better option to get on the interior side of Zolnarchuk. He elects to go to the backside of him, hoping that he would pull that puck back. He did not. And no chance there for Corey Crawford. The Hawks are down 2-0.
7 minutes to go in the second period. Our Koalas family of dealerships, goal of the game. Craig Smith channels his inner Denny Savard, his little spinorama there. Oduya doesn't get back out front. Auberg with the shot, the loose change, and Colton Sissons makes it 3-0.
Yeah, again, Pecorine started this. He got the puck going the other way, and just too many spectators. Guys watching the puck instead of guys getting their nose over the puck, trying to protect the net, take sticks. Instead, you know, when you're a spectator, bad things happen, and I saw a lot of spectators on that goal. That hurts. A fourth-line goal by Zolnarchuk, a third-line goal here by Sissons, and it's 3-0.
And then we go to the third period. Hawks had a little push there to start that third, but nothing to show for it. Forsberg wins a foot race here. Ryan Johansson chips over Corey, and this thing was over, and they started heading to the exits here at the United Center.
Yeah, I mean, give credit to Brian Campbell. At this point, he was dead exhausted. He was trying to create something on the offensive side of things. Tried to get back. Unfortunately, loses the foot race. Forsberg does a nice job getting that puck out front, and a desperate slide by Van Riemsdyk, who was trying to keep the puck in, so that's why he was late getting back. But you have to give credit. A nice play here by Johansson as he just chips this puck over, you know, as Corey Crawford tries to deflect that and actually poke check that away from harm.
And then Kevin Fiala made it 5-0 with an odd man rush, or actually not even an odd man rush.
Yeah, just, you know, jeez, stick hand. Hey, listen.
Odd man rush for the Preds.
When you've got a 4-0 lead on the Chicago Blackhawks, you're feeling it. You're feeling a lot of confidence. Things are going your way, and that's exactly what Fiala feels here. A couple of moves on TVR, and then the quick shot beats Corey.
Let's get some answers. Let's hear from the captain. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. Let's go live to Jonathan Toews on CSN.
Starting the right way, having that speed, having that energy, playing that desperate playoff hockey right from the drop of the puck to begin the games. But, you know, I think there's a lot from their game that we can take away, that they're doing everything defensively to try and frustrate us and give us nothing. And it just seems like we're trying to force plays that aren't there sometimes. And when they get their chance, they're taking advantage of our mistakes, and it ends up in the back of our net. So for us, it's just getting back that desperate, you know, that energy and that just scratch and claw, whatever it takes, type of hockey, and playing better defensively, and obviously, you know, trying to turn things on them, make the mistakes.
Johnny, the home club, that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. So, I mean, you know, we don't like where we're at these last two games. So it is what it is. We got to move forward, and we got to be better, and we got to address the things that we haven't been good at these last two.
Is this more about them and the way they've stymied you, or is this more about just this is a hangover from the last four regular season games and you lost them? Is there any hangover from that?
No, not at all. I mean, give them credit. They're playing well, and they're playing this the right way. They're obviously sticking to their game plan. But I think it's about us. It's always been about us and how we play and how we prepare. So like I said, there's some little things that they're doing well that we could take from their game that we're not quite doing well enough right now. And when everyone, you know, starts to play well and we get four lines rolling, I think we'll loosen up a little bit. And obviously, we'd rather play ahead in games and make them chase us around. But, you know, like I said, it's about us and the way we prepare and the way we get ready for the next one. And we'll focus on what we can do differently.
You guys have been involved like this before. We've said it before. When you're back to the ball, you guys, you know, find a way to come out on top. Is the confidence still there that you can do this probably? No, you've
absolutely
got it so many times.
Absolutely. Like I said, you know, it doesn't look good when you're scored, where it was 6-0 in two games in your own building. So everyone might want to look at those stats and say that things aren't looking good for us. But I think, as I just mentioned, we know the little things we have to rectify that are going to make a huge difference in our game. And we'll just focus on going to the next one and taking that one shift by shift. And really, there's not much more you can do.
Jonathan, you got a post, and it seems like you're getting closer. You're getting closer.
Well, slow starts in series are nothing new. for Joel Quenneville and the Blackhawks. In games 1-3 now, they now fall to 31 victories and 34 losses. So three games under 500 in games 1-3. But in games 4-7, when the chips are on the table, crunch time, money time, they're 45-16. How the heck do you explain these stats?
Well, you know what that tells me, Pat, is they need a reason to get mad. And if that doesn't get you mad, especially tonight's game, nothing does. So I think the Nashville Predators now have the Blackhawks' attention. And
really? Yeah.
Well, you know, the captain just said it. Jonathan Toews just talked about the little things. It's the compete level on little things. It's those thankless little plays that you don't even think about, but you got to do a lot harder. And right now, the Blackhawks are kind of taking it for granted. They've got to amp it up, and they've got to amp it up in a hurry.
They have to be honest with each other. If they think that that was enough of an effort, enough of a compete, enough of a sense of urgency, well, there is a real sense of urgency now. And the good thing is, it doesn't matter if you lose in overtime 3-2. It doesn't matter that the score was 5-0. They're down 0-2. They can wipe this away. They can fix things. And the focus is, let's get it one victory at a time. Let's get this to 2-1 and go from there. They're not going to be thinking too far ahead. They're just going to be thinking about, let's focus on the first 10 minutes of game three.
Let's hear from Patrick Kane on Blackhawks postgame live.
Can probably be easily on us right now, but at the same time, you know, let's say game by game here. We're down 2-0 in the series. Going into Nashville in game three, you know, it's a hostile environment. We know the crowd's going to be pumped up, and, judging by what happened these first two games, we've got to be way better.
And so why you credit Nashville for what they're doing? There seemed to really be a lack of crispness tonight, even when you guys had opportunity to make some passes. How much does that regression from game one bother you?
A little bit. I think, you know, you get yourself in that position, it's almost like, you're feeling the pressure from game one because, you know, it could be a similar type of game. Maybe start holding the sticks a little bit tighter and things don't go as smoothly. But I had a couple chances tonight. Obviously, we want to generate a lot more. And, we talked about getting traffic on them, just not enough right now. So hopefully we can get in front of them here next game, get some shots. And, you know, it doesn't seem like anything pretty is going to happen this series. So it's going to have to be hard fought to get on the board here.
One more.
I'm sorry?
Are you going to shot?
I think we all probably thought the series would be in a different place right now. So, I don't know. That's the way hockey goes, I guess. If, you put forth that effort and don't get the outcome you want, it's tough hole to be in right now. Obviously, those are the first two at home, but nothing we can do about it now. I mean, we can learn from these games, make the necessary adjustments, like I said. We've been a good road team all year, so hopefully that comes into play here. And I don't think we need to lose confidence or swagger or anything like that. Just bring that next game and, across the board, look yourself in the mirror, myself included. Try to be way better and bring it for game three.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks, man.
I marvel at how calm and cool and collected Kane and Toews are right there. I mean, look. Hey, they've come back in series before. They've been down 3-1 before. They were down 2-0 to St. Louis and came back and won that series, although they lost the first two in St. Louis. So they've been there, done that. I started the show. That was a joke.
Well, listen, I think they realize that if they're to panic now, it's not going to accomplish anything.
Right, exactly.
And you know what? They can go around and they can kick the garbage can and they can dump over the Gatorade tubs and everything else.
And what does that do?
And what does it do? What really matters is what they do. What are we coming up on? Tuesday?
Monday night.
In Nashville. And they've got to go out there and not worry about scoring goals. They got to go out there and win every shift. You win your first shift, you win your last shift. Good things are going to happen, and I think as soon as they score that first goal, it'll take a huge weight off your shoulders.
And just so we're clear, what they're saying to us in the media is not what they will be saying to each other on the bus or closed-door meeting perhaps before the next game or leading up to it or right after the game. As you noticed, there was a little bit of a delay before we got to talk to any of them, so maybe they had a conversation in there. I think there might be a little bit different said, but you're absolutely right, Steve. They can't panic. But I do think they have to be honest with each other. So at some point, they're going to have a conversation and be honest that the fact that effort, the compete, wasn't there.
That's That's what bothers me most, is that the compete level isn't there. Like, I can understand puck luck. I can understand a goalie standing on their head, some calls that went against you, whatever you could look at. But when it comes to now over 120 minutes that the compete level has not matched the other team, that's hard to accept.
Here's one way to kind of try to explain it. And, Jamer, I don't know if you're going to agree with me, but you know, all of a sudden Nashville goes out there, they score another goal, they get feeling good about themselves. And the Blackhawks are struggling to make good passes, and Duncan Keith's fumbling the puck at the blue line. And all of a sudden their play is raised because they're feeling confident, and the Blackhawks are starting to suffer a little bit because they're behind the eight ball. And I've seen it happen a number of times. They've got to get it turned around with some strong shifts. Getting a goal would be huge. And they've just got to build on that then.
Even before you get a goal, let's think about maybe we just give up the puck a little bit. Let's get after it and get on the forecheck. Let's give up possession of the puck. Show some bite. And a lot of times, Steve, you know this, if there's a guy who's not characteristically a guy who's physical and steps outside of his comfort zone, the whole bench wakes up and says, you know what?
Yeah.
If a guy who never hits before, if a Schmaltz goes out and runs someone over, the whole bench stands there and says, I can give more. I can do more. He wants to, you know, get out of this, what we're doing. He wants to find a way. And I think that could help spark the group as well.
More from the Hawks Talk podcast coming your way after this. If you travel out of the area for work, no worries. Take the Hawks on the go. No matter where you are within the continental United States, stream every single CSN Blackhawks playoff game live online at csnchicago.com and with the NBC Sports app on your mobile device or tablet.
It's sports. It's social. It's viral. It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show. In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago. And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
Back with our Liberty Mutual Insurance player profile, it is Pecorine, the 34-year-old netminder who, you know, hasn't gotten out of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs in his career, and he has pitched now two shutouts in games one and two, stopped all 29 shots in game one, all 30 shots tonight.
Yeah, certainly didn't make his life difficult. They had some chances, and kind of from awkward plays, just kind of centering passes from in behind the net. This was early in the game. Nick Schmaltz gets a bit of a stride on his defender. The redirection by Kruger. Nice shot there by Kaner. Jonathan Toews had a couple of good looks. Of course, there was a couple of posts in there too, but you know, all in all, you can't think of any miraculous saves that he made in this hockey game.
Yeah, you're right. I think that at times he looked, in the third period in particular, he didn't know where the puck was. And a lot of times, you know, when they had traffic in there, there were some opportunities where that puck was fumbling between his legs. And, you know, even shots that were simple, he didn't know where that puck was. So, you know, I do not think he's the reason why they're down 0-2.
Well, you know, there's always the crow bashers out there. They're going to say, hey, they lost 5-0, so it had to be the goalie. To that, you say what, Jammer?
Yeah, not even close. Not even close. I think there's a reason why Joel Quenneville chose not to pull Corey, and that's, if he did, it would have given the players a pass.
Right.
And, you know, that wasn't the case. Corey played extremely well, particularly when waves and waves of shots, he was up to the task, and I think if he had let him off the hook, that wasn't what Joel wants to accomplish. He is not the factor.
Yeah, this was not on Corey at all. That was, you know, early in this hockey game, a clear-cut breakaway by Arvidsson, their best player. I thought for the most part, Corey tracking pucks when he could see them, you know, making himself big when he had to, and, you know, forcing a lot of pretty good scoring opportunities, basically nullifying. But when you think about the goals, I mean, you know, you're talking about breakaway goals, a couple of them. The Ryan Ellis goal was one that he didn't see from the point. So certainly not going to be able to hang any of this on Corey.
Let's hear from Corey Crawford after the 5-0 loss in game two.
I don't know. It's obviously not good enough. They coached pretty well. You know, they're playing their game to a T. That's why they're up 2-0 right now.
What are they doing to take the play to you guys so well?
What are they doing? Well, they're just waiting for their chances. You know, I haven't been able to give our guys a big save the first two games when we needed it. And they just sit back, play solid D, and just wait.
You guys have been so many holes before, not necessarily losing two, the first two at home. Confidence still there? Do you feel a little bit more pressure? What's the mindset right now?
No, confidence is definitely there. No one's doubting this team right now. We just have to just play our game, not worry about anything. Just worry about that first shift and just go from there.
Is that easier on the road court?
Doesn't matter, home or on the road. Just play our game.
You know what some of the young guys say when they come to the Blackhawks, at least the rookies this year? They say, you look at the guys on this team and they never feel like they're out of a game or out of a series. Hawks have been down 2-0 in a series under Joel before. They've only got out of that round back in 2014 against the St. Louis Blues. They did push Vancouver to a game 7.
Overtime,
they lost in overtime.
Yeah.
And in 2009 before the cup run officially began. So we will see. They've been down before. And look, I can remember us in your Stanley Cup year against Minnesota in the first round. The Hawks beat the Wild, and I remember Joel being ticked off at the podium because he realized they won a series where they hadn't played well. So they've done that before, and they've gotten away with it. They're not getting away with it this time.
They're not, and that's why I think you're going to see a much more desperate team come Monday night, and that's what they need. They need desperation, and haven't seen it yet. Does this push them to that brink? I certainly hope so.
I think you will. I thought you'd see it tonight. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought so, too. That's why I was stunned by the performance. We'd see it.
And, you know, sometimes, like you mentioned, Steve, there's bad puck luck. But you can also make a push back just for pride's sake. Mm. And you didn't see that push. So hopefully they have that conversation in the locker room and they come out with a much better effort, a desperate effort, and just small positives. Let's get the puck out. Let's get it in. And let's focus on getting that first goal and go from there. Because they are a team who seemed very unflappable over the last 7-8 years. They're going to have to lean on that experience now.
I can't wait to hear what Joel Quenneville has to say about this one. Let's hear the HawkAuto.com Coach Q press conference live from the United Center.
The first game, but even this one, just the way everything is going, how frustrated is this team right now with the inability to score?
Well, it was frustration to a different level. That wasn't fun to watch. I think you could look at it, we dug ourselves a tremendous hole across the board. Not too many positives came out of tonight's game. And as everybody was responsible, and it was, from the coaches down to every single player. So we got to get out of this mess and hole, and, we can play much better than that in all areas and all aspects. And, I think we're a better hockey team than what we showed tonight.
How do you combat their defensive strategy coming into this game?
We had some looks. I think our shots weren't great. Obviously, they had some dangerous attack off us off the rush more so than we saw in the first game. But we still we can be better in a lot of ways, whether it's getting point shots through or our shot making ability around the net. But our overall game, we need more. Every aspect.
Joe, I think the crowd is stunned by watching this. What's the level of your surprise seeing you guys struggle scoring?
No, we've had some funny games this year. Today was one of them. It wasn't fun to watch, standing from behind the bench. I think as a teammate, as a player, as a coach, it was one of those games that, hey, it's as bad as you can be, looking for a response because we put ourselves in this tough hole and we need a collective group here to come together and show them that we got to be way better and we got to bring our best because we haven't seen anywhere near our best.
What did you think of that Ryan Hartman play at the end, that kind of the misconduct?
I haven't seen it.
A couple times, is there speed giving you guys some
trouble? I think that their rush game, there's a couple looks there today that, I think we could have prevented their rush game on those long plays. I think that whether the up ice pressure or lack of recognition of the passing lane or pucks bouncing through us or past us and pucks bouncing off our sticks was story of the night.
Joel, you won 4 out of 5 games throughout the regulation. What are they doing right now different that you struggle with?
Well, it's what I don't know what they're doing so much. It's what we haven't done. They're giving credit for the way they played. Shutting us down is playing that perfect road game. But we're, you know, we can generate a lot more across the board. We can be a lot more consistent. We can be a lot more of a threat offensively. And as a group of five defending tonight, we didn't give up anything in the first game, but tonight we had some real dangerous looks against us.
You guys have been in a lot of situations, but never down 2-0 after home. How do you approach this one?
One shift at a time. That's how desperate it's got to be. You know, a gigantic hole. You know, it's going to be a loud building, and, you know, we got to look to chip away. Obviously, we need a goal to start to get the momentum back on our side. And, you know, we give up another early goal again tonight. Didn't help, but that's, you know, baby steps.
How much do you
need? Be angry.
How much do you need Kane, Taves, guys that have been here before, Hosa, to kind of step up and carry them?
They always lead the charge. You know, we're going to need our best players, our experienced guys, to show what it takes and what's necessary to find a way to not just win a game, but to get momentum and compete and everybody bringing it. And I think whether it's young guys or because we can't be pleased in any aspect, no matter who you are on the team.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
A frustrated and perturbed Joel Quenneville, but again, measured, you know, like not panicking, not flipping over garbage cans and whatnot. Feeling that he still has the horses that can get back in this series.
Yeah, and I liked what he said towards the end, you know, let's be angry. And he took it himself, too. He said the coaching staff has to be better. The players obviously have to be better. But if you get angry and you can kind of channel that energy into anything on the ice, you know, just start playing with a little bit more compete level, you know, things can get turned around real quick. That all being said, though, they realize they've got to win 4 of the next 5 games now. If they want to progress here, they've got to win 4 or 5 games against a team they haven't scored against yet. So it's going to be tough, but if a team can do it, this team can.
And he said baby steps. There's no question. They have to start with small positives. There's no question about it. They've got to find a way to go out into Nashville and just focus on the first 5 minutes. But it's also another thing when you're chasing the game, and that's what they've done for 2 games in a row. If they can just get that first goal, I think it changes the way they play as a team. You can kind of calm down and relax as a group and just play their game.
Talk about the frustration level. How about Ryan Hartman and the closing minutes of this one, getting into it with Craig Smith? And he received a misconduct for this.
Yeah, you know, probably didn't mean to go right for his face, but he wanted to cross-check him in the back of the head, and Smith kind of turns over a little bit.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, it's more of a glove than anything else. Jammer, that's fine.
Oh, come on.
After what we saw Matt Kelvar do, and he only got him 1 game, so that's nothing. No, that is nothing.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I'm sorry. That's just giving you a little tap saying we're still in the series.
A little sticky glove.
Yeah.
Hey, let's see a little more of that early in the game, though. I'd love to see some of that come to fruition in the first 20 minutes of play. You know, some big hits. You know, I watched a little bit of the Edmonton game last night. Zach Cassian was a monster on the ice, just running everything he could find. He was skating with a lot of energy. We need somebody like that right now just to get things going.
You can't even point to, like, one or two shifts where this building got into it, where a couple guys had some hits or some sustained pressure. I mean, it was just, ugh.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You think about it. There's guys that can do that, though. I think Ryan Hartman's a guy. You know, I also look at Richard Panik, who's been known to throw his body around as well. And even a guy like Rasmussen can do that. So they're going to need those bottom six forwards to bring that energy level and have that sustained pressure and zone time and, you know, bring a little bit of a snarl to their game.
More from the Hawks Talk podcast coming your way after this. If you travel out of the area for work, no worries. Take the Hawks on the go. No matter where you are within the continental United States, stream every single CSN Blackhawks playoff game live online at csnchicago.com and with the NBC Sports app on your mobile device or tablet.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day. David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities. Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
A What's he going to do with the lines?
You put him in a hat,
just draw. I mean, everybody pretty much played with everybody tonight at one point.
Oh, yeah. That was the ultimate blunder. I'm going to look in the back end first. I think maybe Michael Kempney gets in. I think you need to be a little more physical on the back end. And Forsling's a good defenseman, but I think Kempney gives you
Who
that.
Who would sit then out of the six that were out there tonight?
You know what? Johnny Oduya struggled tonight. I think he'd be the first to tell you. So, it might be a guy like Johnny Oduya. Brian Campbell is getting up in age. Does he get a rest for a game? I don't know. But I think, on that side, maybe he comes out up front. I'm going to leave it to you with the forwards.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think that if Joel changes it too much, there could be it could trickle down in the sense of confidence, could even dwindle even further. Mm. I think if he shows confidence, particularly in the top three lines, kind of keeps it very how he had it, maybe interchange some things. I thought Nick Schmaltz has earned an opportunity to go back up, give him a confidence. You don't want a guy who's supposed to be playing with the puck feeling unconfident. So I wouldn't be surprised if he puts him back up there.
And that'll do it for the Hawks Talk Podcast. For Steve Conroy, Jamal Mayers, I am Pat Boyle. Make sure you tune in to CSN for Game 3, the Stanley Cup playoff matchup between the Hawks and the Predators on Monday night. We will have pregame live for you at 8 o'clock. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk Podcast.